Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino, and welcome to Fired Up California, episode 18. Trump's tax bill just dropped the other day, putting cash back in Californians' pockets and slashing green energy and student loan relief. Love it or hate it, it's a game changer. And from there, we'll weave faster and harder than OJ ever did on the 405. From wildfire threats to ice raids heating up LA streets, we're diving into the stories hitting California hardest. So strap on your anti-flammables because this episode is another scorcher. But before we dive in, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com, and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. And as you're watching, don't forget to hit the thumbs up button and like and share the video once we're done. So let's get right down to it. Trump's tax bill, cash for Californians, green handouts cut. So let's get some credit where credit is due. I researched this via various articles, AI, but it usually starts with one article giving me the idea and I read through it. So I like to give source credit to where that's from. And this one came from the San Fran Chronicle. I actually have a very in-depth, it's about 50 minutes, talking about the big, beautiful bill and everything you get with it, some of the negatives about it, the reality of how Congress works, and the pathetic piousness of those who take one topic and Trump bad, Garrett bad. I love saying Garrett bad. That's how I picture them saying it. But the point is, it's about 50 minutes. You can find that on Fired Up. Or rather on those sites I told you to bookmark or follow us on. This, I'm just going to focus on the California issues, what we get out of it, what's good, what's bad. So obviously it was Independence Day, July 4th, 2025, and Trump signed a tax bill. And I'm sorry, I paused because I was just thinking, you know, I saw the Butler rally there and saw from the very beginning to when he stood up and said, fight, fight, fight. And that's kind of emotional. And regardless of who the president is, because when he said fight, 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 that was America saying fight, fight, fight. So if you get a chance, check it out. But anyway, Trump signed the bill July 4th, and the tax bill boosts Californians' wallets by raising state and local tax deductions. They call that SALT. And it also slashes, in a good way, green energy subsidies. He's also curbing student loan debt. You know, I'm always battling with my libertarian partner, Big John, on rights, and his belief is people have a right to destroy their lives. And my belief is people don't want to, and human nature has always wanted structure and limited government. We left the monarchy, every founding father, regardless of the party at the time, because the Republican and Democrat party were born out of the founding fathers' beliefs. And they all were leaving the monarchy, so they wanted limited government, you know. But what they don't tell you, these same people, is they also had tariffs, came almost immediately right afterwards to raise money. But the point they knew structure was needed of sort. They wanted to allow enough freedom for us to live our lives, but human nature demands structure. And I'll talk a little bit about that with the student loan debt. But the bill, whether the naysayers want to admit it or not, it puts families first. And the big lie is there's a $3.3 trillion debt increase. No, that debt increase is not a $3.3 trillion debt increase. That's us keeping our money. You see what Democrats and TDSers are doing is they're saying $3.3 trillion debt. No, with the tax cuts, the taxes the government will collect will be $3.3 trillion less. So they're saying that us not paying more taxes is bad. That's what they're saying. The travesty is it's the spending that's bad. Period. End of story. Stop the spending. And we're going to talk a bit about that here as well. So some of the key points of the big, beautiful bill. Again, state and local tax SALT deduction increase. It raises a SALT cap to $40,000 for households under $500,000. That's me and a bunch of others. you know, and so that's, and it goes up 1% yearly until 2029, then it goes back down to 10,000, you know. So for example, paying 50,000 in California taxes, well, deduct 40,000 federally, where it was 10,000 in the past. This was a compromise. See, this was out of Trump's hands. This is Congress working their black magic, because I don't agree with it. But it does phase out above 500,000 earners, hitting 10,000 for high earner caps deduction, and that the cap deduction value at 35% for top brackets. That sounds confusing. Let me repeat that. It phases out above 500,000. It hits 10,000 for high earners, meaning that's your ceiling, and it caps deduction value at 35% for top brackets. So in essence, millionaires save less per dollar than middle class families. That's what you need to remember. I tend to throw out a lot of numbers. I tend to, the Republican in me comes out. But in essence, millionaires save less per dollar than middle class families. So when a Democrat tells you this is a tax or this bill is for the rich, they're lying. They are flat out lying. I mean, if we could pull Scott Bessent from beating on Elon every so often, he'd explain it well. And he has. I'm joking. Just Elon to the news with nonsense. He's going to start a third party, and I'm all for it, because they're saying he's going to take Republicans. No, he's not. Elon's a former Democrat who was literally ousted because he wouldn't fall in line. And there's a lot of Elons in the Democrat Party, but I digress. So let's talk about the green energy credits. And I'm going to be talking about Elon in the third party this coming Friday on Fired Up with the live stream. So let's get back to the big, beautiful bill and how it impacts Californians. The green energy credits are acts. So that ends $7,500 new and $4,000 used EV credits after September 30th. So in essence, there's no tax breaks for buying a Tesla. And the word on the street through sources with various media outlets reporting it, not mainstream media, but conservative outlets, that Elon did want this in. He's lying by stating he didn't. He wanted it in. And why? Well, I can't get into it because it's too deep a topic, but the cars are just a start for Tesla. They view themselves as an energy company, but the cars are just the start, and they want to proliferate all these tax breaks for themselves. And Elon became a billionaire because of tax subsidies. He talks about that one a subsidy that he paid back early. That was it. There's others where he hasn't, and he still collects subsidies. So he wanted this. I believe the sources that state he wanted the EV tax break, because that means more people would buy them. This stops credits for that. So there's also the stopping the credits for heat pumps, battery storage, or solar panels. So no help for rooftop solar. These are grifts. These are scams. These are industries that cannot stand on their own, people. They cannot. And I'm like, a true free market, you don't count on government subsidies. So all these CDSers who believe and talk about a free market being hurt here, they're lying. Well, if your Teslas are that good, they don't need the subsidies. People will buy them. You know, and you want battery storage or battery pumps for them, you build them, because that's an extension of your car. The state should not have to build those. You don't see the state building gas stations, do you? So why should the state be building battery charging stations? They shouldn't. Why should the state be, or the federal government, I keep saying state, but any form of government, be subsidizing solar panels? None of these have been shown to be consistent and to be good enough. Maybe they will be tomorrow when technology is better, but not right now. So let's move on to the student loan restrictions. Caps grad loans at $20,000 per year, $20,500 per year, $100,000 lifetime, and professional degrees at $50,000 a year to $100,000 lifetime. So an example, a medical student can't borrow, say, $300,000 for a year. You know, this sets $258,000 lifetime federal loan cap. That's what that means. So a med student won't be able to borrow more than $300,000. Plus, it limits what parents can borrow. It limits parent plus loans to $20,000 a year. $65,000 lifetime per student. Example, parents can't borrow $100,000 from one kid. It ends grad plus loans and relief options like payment pauses for new borrowers. So why is that important? It's important because what happened is when Obama, the moron, sat there and took over the student loan system, he literally took, and this happened even before Obama, I remember getting a student loan was easier than getting any other loan I've experienced. They walked me through it. They did all the paperwork. Next thing I know, the money wasn't even was there to pay off my school, but I had to pay the loan off. And that's because it's federally backed. They know they're going to get paid. So they're going to approve everybody because if I default, the government's going to pay. You know, so and that's what Obama did. So in essence, the prices exponentially accelerated. It was no longer the competitive market. They could charge whatever they literally wanted. That's why colleges are now unaffordable. You leave college with $300,000-$400,000 in debt, $500,000-$800,000 in debt, $1 million in debt, depending on what your degree is and how long you have to go to school for. You put caps like this, then the schools are going to go, well, this is all we can get out of them. Well, we're not getting enough students in that. Then we're going to have to lower our tuition rates. It'll take a little while, but that needs to happen to create more balance. Honestly, the government needs to get completely out of it. Let that be a market. We're not going to have enough people to be able to send to college or kids to get a college education. Look, well, what's happened? You got every Tom, Dick, and Harry with a useless degree, 10 zillion lawyers. So there's more supply than demand. So we're not helping, but we do need more plumbers. We do need a computer graphic artist. We do need things where you don't need to go to a four-year school for. And I'll tell you now, plumbers, those guys are earning six figures. Your toilet gets clogged up, and if it's a Democrat house, that's getting clogged up a lot. No, a lot of BS those people will be spewing out from both ends. But the point is this is good. Now, this is what I argue with my libertarian friends. The structure is there for a reason. People... they're like addicts. They're just not going to stop. And everybody has their vice. I know a couple of people, they love to bet. They don't have the pot to pee in. They have excess money, so they waste it betting. And then they always lie to you. Yeah, you know, I won this, I won that. I'm like, bull. If you were that good, you start jacking up your prices and becoming a pro at it. But you're not. Those are the people who play daily fantasy that I know or you know, things like that. You know, they always talk a good game. So anyway, the salt relief for homeowners, the $40,000 salt cap helps Bay Area families. For example, the median home price is $1.2 million. They keep more of their money by deducting high California taxes. So the phase out above $500,000, meaning if you earn more than $500,000, theoretically keeps it fair, though high earners are still always screaming for more, but they didn't get it here. And again, it ends green subsidies. California's 1.9 million EVs. They're not going to get the $7,500. I don't know why I had that there twice. I may have copied it or wrote it when I clean up and bullet point all this. So 70% of UC grad students use federal loans. Their average debt's about $55,000. So what I was saying is the reckless borrowing will stop. What this does is pushes the responsibility twofold. Your company, you want to push Teslas, you want to push EVs? Well, then you got to make them affordable. The onus now is on you to make an affordable product that sells. The onus is on the grad student to borrow responsibly, to choose the proper school. Well, you can't afford to go to that school? There's another school that's going to give you just as good an education. And that I can tell you. The difference is Ivy League gets you great networking. That's about it. Doesn't matter if you get a degree from San Diego State or UCLA. Really doesn't. I'm a college grad, people. So now the $3.3 trillion debt hike is not a worry, as I said. It's a spending that should be. But there is tax relief over bloated programs like Medicaid expansion. It spares California families from funding runaway spending despite false claims of $1,600 losses for low-income students. Medicaid, in essence, is if you can work, you go to work, bud. We're checking up on you. This was good for Clinton. It was good for Obama. Then, boom, it went away. Why? The Democrats were trying to buy votes. Now, my issue with the salt cap, it masks high taxes. The salt cap lets Californians deduct more state taxes, and it saves us thousands. But it's a federal subsidy for California's 13.3% income tax and $12,000 average property taxes. It shields Sacramento from voter anger over $56 billion 2024 deficit, and it encourages more tax hikes. They're going from $10,000 to $40,000. More taxes are coming. They're going to try to make this permanent. They will, in 2029, when all this expires, the Democrats are going to try to keep salt, but remove the permanent tax breaks because they want us to pay more. That's what they're going to do. So what salt does is just shields reckless spending from our state legislature. It lets California Democrats and New York City Democrats and any other state where that uses this to their advantage. It lets California Democrats avoid accountability for bloated budgets, like the $20 billion in welfare expansions. Look, the Tax Foundation is showing that the top 20% of earners, especially in coastal areas, reap the greatest benefit, while the middle-class families, homes under $800,000, get little, with federal taxpayers footing the rest of the bill. So where they try to cap it, and say, oh, it works out for the middle class or that. There's certain ways it doesn't, as I just showed you. 20% of earners, specifically in the coastal areas, they reap the most. This is doing nothing but perpetuating bad policy. A 2025 Urban Institute study confirmed salt deductions reduce pressure for state tax reform, letting high tax states like California have to keep spending without consequence. Voters don't feel the full pain. So in essence, if we didn't have the salt deduction, cap deductions, we would within a year go, what the hell? Why am I being taxed so high? And that would put all Democrats on notice. It would create more competitive races. We would have lower taxes. As it stands, our taxes are going to keep slowly going up. And eventually, the federal taxpayers, there aren't going to be enough blue state reps, especially if Trump gets the illegals off the census, which you should. Only American citizens should be counted because only our taxes should be only going to help American citizens in terms of congressional seats. What I mean by that is congressional seats are given per population size, and they tend to be blue in California, so that just means more blue seats. You get less blue seats, there's going to be more red seats, theoretically speaking, that can counter this nonsense. But I got to tell you, people, you can't tax yourself to economic freedom. And taxing and using that to spur the economy is nothing but a bad circle event that eventually catches up to you. I mean, remember the German, after World War I? I mean, the money was worthless. We're headed that way with this $37 trillion debt. And the salt cap hurts, does not help in the bigger picture. Y'all may not like what I'm saying, but I'm just giving you the facts, man. All right, let's move on. Trump's wildfire relief threat. This came out about a month ago, but still worth talking about. Personal animosity versus public duty. So what happens is Democrats bash Trump. Then they say, hey, you got to save us. Now, Democrats don't do that. Biden screwed over North Carolina. Biden screwed over Florida. Obama screwed over the Midwest with tornadoes. Those cats play politics. So former President Donald Trump just came out and said it. He said that, look, yeah, personal animosity, because Newsom's always bashing him, screw him. He goes, I've tried to help him, but he keeps bashing him. Yeah, that could influence federal wildfire relief funding. He didn't say it would, so it could. Now people are saying, oh, he's politicizing disaster. What response? I just gave you three times it happened with Democrat presidents. And where were you people talking about that? Nowhere to be found. But you were okay with it. Now, they say Trump's potentially endangering California's during the severe wildfire season. He's not. Democrat Californians have already done that. And these statements came because of the heightened tensions, including Trump's legal deployment of the National Guard troops to L.A. that Newsom was upset about. And he lied. He's depleting state resources for wildfire management. Bro, National Guard should not be part of the wildfire management. No, period. End of story. That should be all done by people getting paid to do it and California's own mechanisms, not National Guard. Now, Trump always talks broadly, wildly. never goes through. Great negotiator, though. But he gets things done. People go, oh, hell, he's going to do that. We've got to take care of it. Well, Newsom doesn't care. Newsom wants to be president. He doesn't care about screwing over Californians. He's been screwing Californians over since he was mayor, and the data is there, people. Look at the bleep up. So they're saying that Trump's admission that these feelings will influence funding decision is wrong, but it does reflect the state federal tensions because Democrats created it. Trump came in his first term to help California out. He just asked to have wildfire management to be done, and it wasn't. So this time around, he's like, y'all didn't do what you're supposed to do the first time I helped you out. The National Guard and enforcement actions, that's another thorn that Newsom has lost in court, will probably lose going up all the way to the Supreme Court. Trump does have the right precedent was set. He may be using a different action to use the National Guard, but people who say, no, you can only use it through governors. Well, LBJ and Eisenhower use it to protect black Americans. Racist Democrat governors were trying to keep from going to school. Trump's past threats, like withholding aid during 2025 in January, and his environmental policy rollbacks, that's what has him mad and has him screaming at him. And Trump has a legitimate issue. Look, you had $25 million to sue me. Shouldn't that be used for the people with his wildfire? Nope. That's Newsom's answer. That's Bonta's answer. That's Democrats' answer. Who gets screwed? You people who vote for this. Y'all too stupid. I'm sorry. Yes, you're too stupid at times to understand. You voted for this. Blame Trump all you want, but it's Newsom and company that has created this. California has documented mismanagement, including inadequate fire prevention, despite federal funding. And this was noted in the 2023 report. Let me give you a reality check. Experts have long warned California about inadequate forest management and fire prevention strategies. Again, the 2023 report by the Public Policy Institute of California highlighted underinvestment in prescribed burns, meaning controlled burns, and forest thinning to thin out the forest. And that's critical for reducing wildfire risk. And they get federal funding for it, but don't use it for that. Studies show California's approach to fire management that has not kept pace. Purposely, with increasing wildfire severity due to climate change. But the due to climate change is also a lie. That's what California wants to tell you. It's not due to climate change. It's due to the fact they mismanage on making sure the forests are thinned properly and prescribed burns are done. It's not nothing to do with climate change. They're lying. It's a flat-out freaking lie. If they had a forest thinning, if they had some of these fires would still happen, but it sure as hell wouldn't be out of control. We have a fire, I'm going to talk about it in a bit, out of control right now as I'm talking about this. Why? Overgrown. No thinning. No forest fire management was done. California's 2025 to 2026 budget, it includes significant spending on non-emergency programs, social services, instead of disaster preparedness. This is why our state is vulnerable. Think the high-speed rail versus paying firemen, upgrading their equipment, and doing controlled burns to thin out the forest. Think about that. California Policy Center has raised these concerns for decades. Historical data as well from the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, shows that California has received billions in federal disaster relief over the past decade. And despite this, audits prove they are inefficient and they mismanage the money. Some funds get allocated to administrative costs, a big chunk of them, instead of direct disaster recovery. So they're mismanaging the money. And why is Trump holding strong? Here's the most important part, my fellow Californians. Trump's offer that he's doing to help rebuild California isn't a blanket bailout, but a loan structure. There's a $40 billion request from Newsom that would not be repaid because of our own fiscal challenges. We're the fourth economy in the world. Yeah, well, we don't have a pot to pee in. Did you know we're in $1.9 trillion in pension debt, unfunded? They don't talk about that. California is screwed right now. But regardless, let's get back to this. Our debt to GDP ratio is already extremely high, and adding a $40 billion loan without repayment plans will create greater instability. Newsom saying, well, we want a complete bailout with no repayment terms. And Trump said, get the hell out of here. Newsom's going to lose this. You know, the country is sick of the debt. Republicans are going to have to pay the piper if they don't deal with this soon. So relations also matter. Look at Obama. He was plotted, loved by Democrats, and got away with having terrible relationships with Republicans. Why? Because the media covered up for him. The media is exposing this, and Trump is holding strong, saying, screw you. You're screwing your people, and now you're lying about me screwing the state, when the truth of the matter is, I told you what you needed to do, and I gave you all the money my first term. This term, you're asking for a complete bailout and wanting America to foot the bill for your own incompetence. Trump is willing to assist. But the demand for a bailout without repayment terms? Trump's going to hold strong. Maybe Newsom waits it out, but tell that to the Californians who are struggling. Remember, for example, we're going to lift all the red tape so people can get permits and get the cleanup going. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago now, maybe a month ago, I did a short. There were like 12 freaking permits given. There are thousands of homes. 12 permits were given. And then somebody went undercover. He said, no, they're not going to lift the permits. They're just going to try to speed this up or that up. Is it working though? Democrats, y'all elected. Look in the mirror and elect non-Democrats for once in your damn life. All right, wildfire mismanagement. The Madre fire exposes policy failures again. Let's give some credit. This came from a MSN report. But I don't know what the original one, but the MSN are licensed content. But if the article is called Madre Fire in San Luis Obispo County explodes in nearly 80,000 acres. It's, you know, it's California's largest wildfire this year. Only 10% containment as of me talking to you right now. It's raging through dense, overgrown brush in Los Padres National Forest, terrain that has been left unmanaged for years, if not decades. Evacuation orders, highway closures, obviously disrupting communities. Over 50 structures are threatened. Smoke is impacting multiple counties. We're lucky it's out in the open area versus the urban area, but environmentalist resistance to controlled burns and proactive land management has left these areas vulnerable, and it's turning preventable fires into disasters. Official cite exponential growth due to terrain, weather, and fuel conditions. Classic signs of unmanaged vegetation buildup. They try to claim policy paralysis. No, they just don't want to. They don't want to do controlled burns. They don't want to do mechanical thinning. They've blocked this because of environmental lobbies, despite decades of warning. Highway 166 closures and evacuation orders show how poor land stewardship directly impacts the citizens, the residents, the infrastructure, and emergency responses. This is a nightmare, people. This isn't new. California's fire seasons have worsened because of repeated inaction. The Madre fire is just the latest. So until land management policy shifts from reactive to proactive, these fires will keep escalating. Lives are at risk, and the cost of delay is growing. There will be no change, though, until we hold politicians accountable. In California, at the state legislature, stop blaming climate and pretending there's GOP opposition when Democrats run California from top to bottom. Wake up, people. All right. LA streets on edge. Volunteers patrolling amid intensified ICE raids. This article came from the Capitol and Maine.com. So, trained volunteers from Union del Barrio, they're patrolling Los Angeles streets. They're monitoring ICE activity. They're responding to increased raids targeting Latino neighborhoods. I voted for that. Yo soy Latino. And unlike half these Latinos on the street who may look more brown than I do, I speak, read, and write Spanish, and I know my cultural history. I've talked to some of these. So where are you from? East L.A. or Los Angeles, man. Yeah. Hey, ¿habla español? No, man. I don't speak Spanish. So what part of Mexico or Honduras or El Salvador? No, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I'm Latino and proud. No, you're not. You're a fool. You're a stupid, indoctrinated American punk. And these adult punks say they're responding to ICE raids. And yes, ICE operations have surged. I voted for that. And yes, they are masked because they're being doxxed and their families are being threatened. They kind of conveniently leave that out, don't they? And then they lie. Well, I think it personal with Republican Senator Josh Hawley said. And that's how they try to talk in the camera. They talk about camera. Hey, bud, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing pretty good, you know. We're going to go to the big event there. All right. And then that big event's made up of 70% white. So these are community patrols amid the ICE surge. They do morning patrols and Latino heavy rapid response patrols. They're based on community tips. And Tom Homan says, yeah, interfere, we're going to arrest your ass, as he should. I voted for that. They want to verify ICE activity before or issuing social media alerts. Look, this stuff is going to be made illegal if it hasn't already, especially by 2026 when we take the House with greater numbers as well as the Senate. It's going to happen. Why? Democrats are socialists. They're on the 80-20 side. And Elon's forming his third party, he says, by 2026. I love it. Elon's actually a Democrat who's run out of the party. There's a lot of Democrats like him still in the Democrat Party who are going to run there. The Republican Party, 80% of it supports Trump. People are panicking for no reason. So I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, then they lie. Oh, we got ICE snatch and grabs happening. Snatch and grabs is great for the PR. Because they're not snatching grabs. What happens is it's a rapid deployment of ICE. Why? Because, no, just for Latinos, it's like we're like cockroaches. You turn on the lights and these raids, everybody scatters. ICE goes in there quickly, grabs them, throws them in. Oh, they're taking citizens. No, they're not. Is there a chance somebody can be taken? Yeah, it's just human nature. They get sent left out. That has happened to Whitey a lot, too. My friend is a redhead. Former cop, actually, stayed inside once because his neighborhood, the cops were all out and about. So he had to stay inside because they were looking for a tall redhead. He's a tall redhead. So just stop with the nonsense. Stop with the lies. So, yes, they're going in for quick dash and grabs. And you know what? This nonsense, yeah, they said they're only going to target criminals at first. All of them are criminals the moment they cross the border. I voted for that. They use the term snatch and grab. It's a PR term. The mainstream media loves to use it. They kind of say if it's illegal. It's not. It's not an illegal kidnapping. They're getting bad dudes off the street. People are broken the law. People who don't belong in this country. We don't have the infrastructure to support it. All these people who vote for the infrastructure, you don't see not one of them damn helping out or volunteering to help illegals. It's about winning the argument. I guarantee you take a bat that's barbed wire, you shove it in and out anally of one of their boys or vaginally of their girls, like has been done. Beat the hell out of the kid. Then throw him and then leave him under the bridge to die slowly. Or like Lake and Riley have a rock smash over their heads. That happens to their damn kid, they ain't going to be so nice. But it doesn't. So they don't care that other people have died because they want to win the argument. You don't have compassion. Yes, I do. I have compassion for every American who's lost their life, been robbed, mugged. Anything negative that's happened to them. Because if we controlled our borders, that wouldn't have happened. Americans do it too. That's right. We have laws to deal with Americans. But if we keep these illegals out, we don't have to worry about robbed, stolen, mugged, raped, and murdered by illegals. And we deal with the Americans that do it. See, I don't let people get the compassion. I'm like, no, I am more compassionate. I volunteered overseas. I give them my time. I work for nonprofits. So, yeah, I am compassionate. And I won't let you try to strong arm the fact that you're sorry ass being compassionate by sitting on the couch and screaming at your TV. That's wrong. I'm not going to let you win an argument with that nonsense. No. So ICE officers are also wary of these patrol groups like Union del Barrio, because of past instances of attacks and confrontations. And then, you know, I don't feel bad for these volunteers. They're taking risks too. They're going to hit the wrong crowd, wrong guy in a car. And that guy's going to get pissed off. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, what fool shit have been doing that? self-inflicted wound. No, I don't support you. You didn't get what you deserve, but I'm not going to feel bad for you. Your stupidity was, it's like, it's called Darwinism. And there's also the fading momentum part of all this. Volunteer groups start out strong, and they eventually fade. Then more crime goes in those areas because these people know we got lookouts. And then they rob those places where they feel safe because the ICE or cops aren't going to be there as much. They rape, they mug, they pillage. People doing these patrols going, what the hell am I doing? Hell, there's one there. Let me call ICE. They're going to question the value of protecting communities if those same people are robbing their communities, are raping in their communities, are murdering in their communities. Their kids graduate. Dude, you speak like an eighth grade level. That sounds like a speak at Papa. Well, why? Because they didn't know English. I'm Latino. Again, I've seen that. I was teacher's aide. Specifically, I was a translator because the kids who couldn't speak read or write English. And this was, I don't know, it wasn't a first grade or kindergarten class, or maybe fourth, fifth, I can't remember, 30 years ago. But I immediately saw, man, this class is going to be full of rocks because they're going to pass on these kids. Why? We get money per student. They got to keep the gravy train going. This is a bad scene. And these idiots aren't helping out. Anyway, let's move on. California sues over Medicaid data sharing with ICE. So this one comes from the California Globe. Attorney General Rob Bonta sues HHS, DHS for handing over illegal immigrants' Medicaid info to ICE. So he's leading 20 states to do this. They're alleging HIPAA violations by sharing Medicaid data with DHS. Look, there's always a database that the government has access to, so I'm not sure how they're going to win this. But the federal officials are defending the transfers legal. They have to ensure the taxpayer-funded Medicaid benefits only go to eligible individuals. Period. End of story. If you don't have a check and balance system, then anybody can sign up for Medicaid and corrupt the system, as Democrats are having or are doing their best to do. California funds Medi-Cal for 2 million non-citizens. And they lie and say, no, those are California dollars. No, it's federally funded, and they just call it Medi-Cal. They claim it. It's more political PR. Why? Look, the funds may come from California, but it's also funded by the federal dollars, subsidizing it. They claim privacy and public health concerns. It's sensitive details like names and addresses for 78 million Medicaid enrollees. No, it doesn't violate the HIPAA and Privacy Act. What they want, they don't want our illegals to be discovered. Hey, we got them here, here, here. We're going to go get them, take them out. That's their right. That's what 80 million people voted for. It's what I voted for. And the reason they want to do this is because it's a lie. Again, they say Medi-Cal is funded by state dollars, but those are subsidized by federal dollars. And Medi-Cal covers non-citizens, but it's subsidized by federal dollars. HHS justifies the transfer, and I agree with them, under federal law to prevent the misuse of the Medicaid, which costs taxpayers about $825 billion annually. The 2023 report stated that. And the government must verify eligibility to ensure funds benefit citizens and legal residents, my friends. Especially as 66% of 2024 ICE arrests targeted non-citizens with criminal convictions to enhance public safety. And you know what they discovered? A lot of those guys were on Medicaid or Medi-Cal. This is nothing but a Democrat power play. Democrats incentivize illegal immigration with benefits like Medi-Cal to secure future voting blocks. And voter fraud. California's DMV auto-registered 1,500 non-citizens. That's what was caught. And they voted in 2018 election. You can't pull the vote out. They can't go, we got to pull those votes out from wherever they're at. You can't. You don't know where they went. This is their goal. This is their goal. So I am all for this. Moving on, California renters lose eviction relief. Landlords outmuscle tenant advocates. Not really. This one came from CalMatters. So California lawmakers rejected Senate Bill 436, which would have extended the eviction grace period. Well, it extended it for tenants from 3 to 14 days for past due rent, exposing what they say is a rift. No, it's just progressives and moderates with lobbying on both sides, and the right side won this time. Landlord groups do have more money and outspend the renter advocates, but their renter advocate groups are out there. The problem is a lot of those renter advocate groups are just grifting, getting six-figure salaries and not winning any battles, then saying we don't have the money. Well, if you didn't have a six-figure salary of $250,000, and maybe had a more realistic one of, say, $80,000-$90,000, you'd have more money to fight these battles. So I don't feel bad for them. So some stuff to get through. Tax credits in the Senate bill, 681 passed. Broader tenant protections made it through. So the bill's failure, though, does highlight how stringent eviction rules and political dynamics give a perception of favoring property owners. But it's just doing what's right. And here's why. Eviction rule realities. The three-day notice period defended by the moderates is a small part of a 3 to 4 month eviction process that is bogged down by court delays over and over and legal motions. Once that gets past 30 days, they become squatters and they're there almost permanently. So this costs landlords thousands of lost rent and fees. Their properties are occupied by squatters at that point. And this is, they're losing money, and many of them are forced to sell to corporate developers. Then you have rent control laws like AB 1482. It caps increases at 5% plus inflation in cities like LA, but landlords face 6 to 8% annual rises in taxes, maintenance, and utilities. And these are mostly Democrat-led fee hikes. So they're unable to break even. In San Francisco, 30% of San Francisco rental properties were sold in 2019. And you know what happened? They became luxury condos. Get out, we're condos, and they can do that legally. It's called gentrification. And Democrats don't realize they're the ones causing it. You can't artificially create market conditions without a negative backlash. Not by people, but by the rules and laws of economics and supply and demand. California's laws allow squatters to claim occupancy after 30 days, and that forces landlords into costly month-long unlawful detainer lawsuits. Thousands and thousands of dollars that costs. Now, there are genuine tenants who negotiate payment plans. 60% of the small landlords offered COVID-era deferrals, for example. But squatters exploit loopholes that Democrats purposely put in there. And that causes 10,000 plus in damages in endangering neighborhoods. So you're saying, well, only 10,000, well, think of a few dozen you have in there. That means a couple hundred thousand in one apartment building. Could become easily into the millions, depending on the size of the apartment. They can't afford that, those type of losses. So defending squatters ignores their role in degrading properties and deterring rental investments and creating condos in the long run. Again, landlords often accommodate reliable tenants. But they do face chronic late payments. 15% of tenants defaulted repeatedly in 2023. Eventually, those, you got to go. I need somebody I can trust. And there are people out there they can't trust. So what this does, it threatens the landlord's ability to pay mortgages and taxes. This is abuse, not compassion. Democrats' compassionate moves, like eviction moratoriums and strict rent controls, that's done to chase political wins, and it always backfires. Always backfires. So there was the 2021 moratorium created a 50,000 plus case backlog. It starved landlords of income. There was a rent moratorium. Landlords were starved of income while housing permits dropped 20%. And a lot of those landlords were forced to sell to corporations. So this isn't the win people think it is. All right, California secretive infrastructure plan, transparency fight wins out. So this is from CalMatters again. This was a tough one. I was like, holy mackerel. When I saw this, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. So let's get into this one. Oops, hold on one second. Ah. So California's SB 769 proposes the Golden State Infrastructure Corporation. So it's an Senate bill, 769, and it proposed to have a Golden State Infrastructure Corporation, a nonprofit to borrow unlimited taxpayer funds for projects like transportation and housing. This is a grift. And it was going to be operate with no public scrutiny. In other words, in secret. It allowed nearly all records to remain private and meetings to be held in secret. Now, what good? There's no good that comes about that. Luckily, transparency advocates pushed back. So this reflects a broader trend of California officials using tactics like burner phones and NDAs to limit public access to what they're doing. It's a socialism, fascism, whatever you want to call it. It's authoritarianism. It's we are kings, you are serfs, servants. Think about that. It initially passed the Senate without transparency objections, aimed to shield the nonprofit's operations, which would shield taxpayer fund misuse. Thank goodness for the First Amendment Coalition and Oakland Privacy, which secured amendments to restrict the private records. They're still fighting this. This will eventually wind up in court and they'll lose. Again, burner phones, NDAs and bills, shielding meetings. That is nothing but erode trust. And y'all vote for this! Get your heads out your asses, people. Nonprofits like the proposed corporation, they become tools for Democrats to reward loyalists with six-figure salaries. And they use secrecy to dodge accountability. Remember Acorn? That collapsed in 2010 after allegations of voter fraud. That one was nationwide. And mismanaging federal funds for political allies. Then there's the United Council of Human Services. Faced FBI scrutiny in 2022 for misusing $28 million in grants and illegally selling housing units. Was suspended for poor bookkeeping, conveniently poor bookkeeping. Recent cases, the Providence Foundation of San Francisco, Executive Director Patricia Boyle allegedly approved $100,000 fraudulent invoices for work tied to her husband's company. And she enjoyed a massive salary and lavish expenses. It's currently under investigation by the San Francisco City Attorney and the U.S. Attorney Bill SLA's Homelessness Fraud Task Force is supposedly looking into it. And SB 769 would protect cronyism like this. This is Orwellian political thought, and it's always Democrats pushing it and implementing it while accusing Republicans of doing it. Human nature means both sides can play dirty. But in the last 25 years, the pattern in California beyond SB 769 secrecy, 2017 baseball shootings, BLM riot, fallout, Tesla arson, street blockades, it's Democrats doing all this stuff, whether it's in the legislature or violently. Enough of the lies. Rideshare drivers union push, a decade in the making. This comes from CapitalWeekly.net. A bill to unionize rideshare drivers, the product of a decade of work. So California AB 1340, authored by Buffy Wicks, seeks to grant over 600,000 rideshare drivers unionization rights. The bill passed assembly, 54 to 15, long party lines, think about that, 15 Republicans, that's it. God, how have we lost this battle because of a stupid incompetence by the California Republican Party? Now, the only bright spot with this bill is that Governor Newsom may, because of donor pressure from the tech industry, may veto this. So, look at it this way. This bill is backed by SEIU. Why? Well, unions align themselves with Democrats, and it means more money for the unions and the higher-ups in those unions. Uber and Lyft are pushing back. They warn unionization could spike fares. It will, and it's going to speed up the process of robo-taxis. After Prop 22's price hikes, after mandating 120% minimum wage, $5.64 to $27.58 an hour, Berkeley Research Group noted only 7% of the drivers works 20 hours weekly. So there's limited union benefits. But what happens when you unionize and all of a sudden certain work requirements, hours, mandate, you got to work this many hours, you got to do this, you got to do that. It takes away the freedom of what they want is to drive a few hours here or there, earn a little bit of extra income. It's a union power grab. Democrats may champion AB 1340 to bolster unions like SEIU that donated $20 million against Prop 22 in 2020 that passed anyway. but then was taken to court and Prop 2022 aspects of it were struck down. So they use this to help secure campaign funds. The unions do to secure campaign funds for their candidates, as well as loyal voters. It's not really loyal voters they secure by unionizing. They bully those voters, and there's violence involved. The SEIU did a 2024 Harris endorsement using union funds. And then they won't tell or they bully the unions who don't want to pay into that because you can opt out. But the union will actually use violence at times to keep you from opting out or threat of violence. So these unionized drivers, they feel, will expand Democratic voter rolls, continually pushing the left-leaning dominance that we have right now. With Wicks, the proponent of this bill, looking at union support for future political ambitions. Just like Lorena Gonzalez's post-AB5 labor leadership role she got. Once she left politics, she went and got a cushy job with the union. Opponents argue AB 1340 ignores Prop 22's 59% voter approval for independent contractor status. Democrats' motives may include genuine driver advocacy in certain ways, but the financial and electoral perks of union alignment is what they're really after. It's about prioritizing labor power over the consumers they say they want to protect, and the flexible workers who want to keep that flexibility. It's just a power grab. It's not good. Turf Troubles, Dodger Slam for DEI Discrimination. This came out a few weeks ago, but I still wanted to talk about it. So the America First Legal Foundation, led by Stephen Miller, filed an EEOC complaint alleging the Los Angeles Dodgers and Guggenheim Partners are pushing DEI at the expense of equal opportunity. They're discriminating based on race, color, and sex. The complaint targets Dodgers owner Mark Walters programs that benefit gender and culture over qualifications. They prioritize immutable traits, skin color, gender, over merit. AFL's actions, part of a conservative anti-DEI push that, yes, I voted for. It, to me, correctly accuses MLB and corporations of unlawful discrimination. Now, it cites the Dodgers website for promoting programs for women and people of color and Guggenheim's for Women's Innovation and Inclusion Network. They exclude men and Anglos, and they violate Title VII by favoring certain groups over merit-based hiring. It's a great lawsuit, I see. Now, the opponents of this lawsuit said, this is vengeance. No, it's following the law. Racism comes in all cultures, all colors. Bigotry comes through all religions. And we have to root that out and stamp it out. These are vile, evil people. Jerry Rivera, vete a carajo, idiota, estúpido. Ni sabe limpiar tu fundillo, está tratando de decirnos cómo vivir nuestra vida. It's not vengeance, idiota. DEI does not correct historical inequities. We are the greatest country in the world. If we have inequities here, why is every black and brown person from every freaking country trying to come here? You stupid liar. The Dodgers falsely, let me remind you all of this. The Dodgers falsely claimed on June 20th that they denied ICE access to Dodger Stadium. It was a PR stunt to boost their image. And, of course, Pico, California, the same moron, Jerry Rivera. Oh, you're so good, Mr. Dodger. That's all he's good for. ICE and DHS came out and said, we were never there to seek entry. There were a few CBP vehicles briefly present due to a car malfunction, unrelated to any operation. They lied. DEI is racism. Selecting employees by racial culture, as AFL alleges, is bigotry. It's illegal under Title VII. DEI's double standard often excuses bias against Anglos, clashing with equality for diverse families like mine, where merit should rule, not skin color. The Dodgers skirt millions in property taxes, too. So they live off tax breaks for the government. I think those should be looked into as well. You should be punished for what you're doing, not rewarded. Democrats' compassion for immigrants and DEI, while politically expedient, it fuels division and hate because it dodges accountability, pun intended. These policies burden taxpayers and ignore legal residents. I'm referring to how they're putting $1 million in to help illegals. This is a bad deal. Bad deal. Trump's border crossing claims, a California perspective. Okay, I want to talk about how good the border crossings are in terms of not happening. So May and June of 2025 data from U.S. Customs and Border Protection show averages of 1,000 and 1,200 daily encounters nationally. It's a sharp decline from 20,000 daily, 21,000 or 20,000 daily in June of 2024. The California San Diego sector is a key entry point. It's reporting a drop from 3,000 daily encounters in June 2024 to 177 daily in June 2025. California handling 15% of nationwide border encounters, and that comes per USA Facts data. It's seeing economic and security implications because of this. Reduced crossings potentially easing pressures on local resources, like shelters and law enforcement in border counties. So, for example, San Diego, I know a couple of shelters are closed because they can't fill them. There's nobody showing up. That's good. Because those shelters use our tax dollars. And we shouldn't be putting tax dollars towards that nonsense. Yeah. In May of 2025, border encounters. Nationally, May 2025 recorded 31,000 encounters. A significant drop from 603,000 in May of 2024. California San Diego sector saw encounters fall from 89,000 to an initial 5,500. So it went from 3,000 daily to about 180 daily. June, building on May's trend, June saw national encounters. It rose slightly to 36,000, 1,200 daily, but still well below June of 2024, 603,000 and 20,000 daily. So it went from 1,200 daily in this June to from 20,000 daily. San Diego, again, 5,300 from June 2024 to a high of 89,000. I'm sorry, 2025, 5,300 versus the high of 89,000, San Diego sector. Look, the San Diego sector is 60 linear miles of border with Mexico. It's part of a 931-mile coastal region. Saw a 94% drop in encounters. That's a reduced strain. And, you know, we've committed in San Diego 10 million of these illegals. They're going to just put the money elsewhere. But theoretically, it should free that money up. There's a reduced strain on public services. Taxpayers should see relief again. But will they? Not with the Democrat Board of Supervisors and Democrat City Council. But theoretically, we should, but we won't. Because they're going to vote for illegals because they want to stay in power. And voter fraud is a big part of them staying in power. Again, the DMV is a powerful tool they're going to use, as well as mail-in ballots. Democrat-run registrar's offices. The fix is in. We've got a battle back. So less pressure on housing and healthcare systems should stabilize some costs again, ensuring tax dollars aren't disproportionately redirected from citizens to illegal aliens. Local businesses should be seeing less theft. Actually, the reduction of crossing the border legally, a 10-minute reduction in wait time boosts commerce by $26 million monthly. So all this is just going to help California's economy out. Think about that. Think about that. And no, they don't contribute to the country. They pay their taxes. No, they don't pay income taxes. Here's how they pay taxes. They pay taxes through sales tax, renter's tax, stuff like that. And the income taxes that some do pay is through stolen Social Security numbers. And they're given the jobs and paid less than the American would. So it's a lose-lose all across. They're just lying to you when they say they pay more than Americans. No, they don't. They're lying. That's our show, people. From Trump's tax cuts to quieter borders, California's at the heart of it all. And before I go, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. I am William Del Pilar for the Fired Up California podcast. Stay sharp, hold your leaders accountable, and keep fighting for the Golden State's future. Until next time, I am out.